Today's sermon is entitled Transitions. My life is not a straight line. Transitions. My life is not a straight line. On November 2nd, 1997, on my brother's birthday, I preached my first sermon as senior pastor at the Red Lion Hotel in Culver City. My, how far we have come from then. But the journey from then to now was full of twists and turns. And there's an old song that says, time is filled with swift transitions. The first verse says, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The first verse said, not of earth, which means nothing of earth that is not moved can stand, or nothing of the earth that is locked in place that shouldn't move will be moved. In other words, nothing gets past the changes and the transitions of God. The second verse said, trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to him cling. The final verse said, when your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. The chorus says, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Look at where I'm going. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. There's only one thing in all the earth that doesn't and won't change, and that is God. Everything else will see transitions. Your life and my life will have transitions, and we must be prepared for them. What are transitions? Transition is the process or period. It is the window of change from one state or condition to another. It's that medium in the middle between two areas, something that links one place or state to another. It is a segue. A transition is a segue to another place, a link between two. Many people see transition as the actual place, but transition is just the go-between. And many people get stuck in the transition, when we must understand that transition is only the part between the two. If we looked at the roadmap or the route of our journeys, our life's journeys, the transitions would be identified where? In the turns. I heard a preacher talk about once, when you're riding a motorcycle, the most difficult part of riding a motorcycle is in the turns. That most people fall when they're in the turns. It's the turns of life that mess us up. And we must understand that turns are coming because no life is a straight line. Oh, I'm already talking good. Anything that breaks away from the current to another is made possible by a transition. Anything that breaks you away from the familiar to something new is caused by a transition. So if you're traveling, Shauna, on 4th Street, and you have to make a left on Adams, the turn is your transition. When I write my sermons, I write in my notes, transition from point one to point two. Is anybody tracking? But transition, Tabitha, is different from destination. Ooh, transition is different from destination. And while we must live with transitions, they are important because they will help us get to our destinations. God has not given any of us a journey of a straight line, but we all have been given a destiny to be arrived to by enduring and taking transitions. I'll say that again. None of us have been given a straight line life, although we'd like it to be. The shortest path between two distances is a straight line, but life doesn't work like that. We have all been given a destiny, but it's arrived at because we have endured and we have had the courage to take the transitions. Ultimately, watch this now. This is going to be good. This is going to be good, Kevin. Ultimately, what happens in the transitions is called change. Somebody say change. And most people are afraid of change, so they try to keep their lives in a straight line and they avoid the turns and the transitions of life. I came to tell somebody I'm not scared of the turns. My life has been filled with turns, and because my life is so diverse, it has many transitions. The more gifts you have, the more transitions you have. I'll say that again. The more gifts you have, the more transitions you have. I have administrative gifts. I can sing. I play instruments. I write. I speak. I do business. There's so many things I can do. And so multiple gifts simply means multiple road options to get to your destination. Have you ever looked at your navigation system and you put in an address, and sometimes it gives you two or three different roads, right? One may be fastest, one may be without freeways, one may have tolls on it, but you get to choose the many different ways to get to the one destination. I wish I had some people who understood what I was talking about. When you have more gifts, you have more options, but more options simply mean more transitions. Many people want more options. If I had this, I'd have more options. Well, you're asking for more turns, and it's the turns where people fall. Never mind. So with every gift, there is a road filled with transitions. But if you noticed in the first verse of the song I quoted earlier, it said time is filled with, what's the word? Swift transition. Oh, there it is. In other words, turns happen quickly. Ah, yes. You stay on the highway straight for hours, but a turn takes a mere few seconds. Ah, God, I feel him. If you're not careful, you'll miss your turn. Has anyone ever missed their turn? And if you miss your turn, you're not on track to reach your, destination. 1 minute you're on this street, and the next minute you're on another. No one in life is exempt from this fact. And I came to tell you, just when you think things are going hunky-dory the way you want them to go, a turn comes in your life because you experience a swift transition. So what is the key then to making it through these transitions, Tony, in life? I started early so you could get a little bit of it. What is the key to making it through the transitions in your life? Here it is, two words, hold on. Didn't the song say hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand? Whenever mommy would hit a sharp turn in our 69 aqua blue Mustang, she would say to us, hold on, babies. And that's what the song says. Life has many quick transitions, but hold on to God's unchanging hand. So in other words, when life gives you a quick turn, hold on. In a world of constant change, hold to him who changes not. I'll say that again. In a world of constant change, hold to him who changes not. So in today's final sermon, I'd like to talk with you about the importance of having a good guide who's leading you, who can tell you when the turns are coming. What if I told you there was a way to know that the turns were coming? If you listen to your navigation system in your car, it'll tell you, left turn ahead, 30 feet, 1 mile, it's coming. A guide who is a goal to get you to your destination. For 26 years, I have been hitting my turns. Oh, come on, PC. Sometimes on two wheels, and sometimes, Joy, I tipped over, but I got back on the road. Sometimes we were kicked out of a place, we couldn't stay there. They got too mad because we were growing too fast. It was messing with their own congregation. We had to move to this place, and they got mad because of the commercials we were putting up, but we weren't advertising them. We went through all the shenanigans of ministry, but we kept on track. Somebody say, I'm on track. But I wouldn't be able to be here today if it weren't for the turns in my life and the faithfulness to enduring those turns. But there's something I learned, and there's something that I garnered from this journey. And without these principles I learned along the way, I would have never made it here. And these principles come from this legacy of scriptures that most people in life know, and it comes from Psalm 23. Take a look at this text today. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You probably can quote it with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to share today, here's what I learned after 26 years of pastoring. Number one, I learned that every believer's life comes with a guide. Every believer's life comes with a guide. Here's what I learned in Psalm 23, verse 1. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is a guide. Every believer's life comes with a guide to help you get to where you need to get to. You have one. You have one, Riri. You have one, Lil Ben. Just like Oprah, you get a car. You get a car. Every believer, Jesus says, you get a guide. You get a shepherd. You get instructions. All of us, in biblical terms, he's called the shepherd. And a shepherd is given to us to guide and to guard and to grow the sheep. The sheep are its followers. Oh, watch where I'm going. A shepherd is one who guides the sheep in an intentional direction. In today's terms, he would be called not a shepherd, we won't say that, but a guardian. A guardian is one who guides, one who guards, a custodian to someone or something. I have a custodian, and I've had a custodian for 26 years of ministry. A guardian is one who owns the care of another. Jesus owns the care of me. Oh, I love it. And what this really means is that for every believer, we can't say there is no book for this life. Amen? We can't say no one told us. That ain't true. We have a guide. It does come with instructions. People say all the time, no one told me how to live like this. Well, you have a shepherd. When I'm putting something together or I'm getting something new and I'm not familiar with it, what's the first thing I do? I look for the guide to help me know what to do. You got a new marriage, you need to look to the guide. You got a new job, you need to look to the guide. Because everything you experience new, it has new transitions. That's all right. This is what the guide does. He leads us to our next destination. Somebody say next destination. My life has been one destination after another, one transition after another, and I feel like God is moving me again. In fact, the first part of the text explains itself. Because we have a guide, the text said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There it is. It means that the guard has everything for you. In other words, you shall not want. We have everything we need to get to where we need to get to. Isn't that good? That the shepherd says, you have everything already that you need to handle the turns in your life. That means that my life is, capital I, capital S, bolded, is going to make it where God wants me to get to. The Bible says this, we have already been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Write that down, Shauna. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. And we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That's Ephesians 1 and 3. Write that one down too, Shauna. I'm coming quick today. I know you got it. Ephesians 1, 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. And then Ephesians 1, 3. And then the Holy Spirit has been given, has been sent to lead and to guide us into all truth. That's St. John 16, 13. John 16, 13. Shauna got it. I know she got it. Come on with me. The third one is John 16, 13. So you have three passages that tell you, you have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. You've been given every spiritual blessing, and you've been given the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you into all truth. So I've learned that this life does come with guidance. Amen. We don't have an excuse for not getting to where we are supposed to be. I have to say that again. Holy Spirit says, say that again. We don't have an excuse for not getting to where we are supposed to be, which leads me to my second point. My second point, watch, the first one is every believer's life comes with a guide. You know, I'm a rhyme. Every believer should learn to ride. That's number two. Every believer should learn to ride. Listen, when I'm driving, there are so many things I have to pay attention to, especially if you're driving a stick, and you're trying to pay attention. And sometimes, Joy, when we're riding on a trip, she may say, look, honey, look, and look at that. And if there's traffic or something going on, I can't look right away. And oftentimes I end up passing it or missing it. But when I'm riding. Oh, yeah. When I'm riding in the car, chilling in the back, I think that's a perk of the limousine and the chauffeur ride, because you get to relax and enjoy the ride. I see so much more. Amen. I've learned over 26 years to let my guide do the driving. Did you know that Jesus can drive? Haven't you heard the colloquial phrase, Jesus, take the wheel? Yes, because he can drive, and he's commissioned to drive so you can ride. Every believer needs to learn how to ride. So I've learned over 26 years how to sit back and enjoy the ride. Little Ben can testify to my type of management style in the beginning and how my style has changed today. Look at these next couple of verses. The text says in verse 2 and 3, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul and he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, he makes me lay down by the green pastures, by the still waters. Watch this now. We often see our travels as actively driving in the car. Most of us see our lives as individual lives, as a journey in which we have been called to drive. I came to mess up your program that God didn't ask you to drive. He said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't ask you to come jump in the car and drive and worry about the trip. It's a road trip. And he planned it all. Joy likes when I plan the trips, and she gets mad sometimes, though, because I have too much room for spontaneity. Joy likes to plan it every sector, every second, down to the minute. But I like to leave gates open just in cases we see something we like and we want to stop and take it in. I came to tell somebody, God wants you to open your calendar back up. Sit back in the spirit and enjoy the ride. I feel him pushing me now. But when you have a guide, all you have to do is lie down and let him lead. Oh, that's what the text says. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Lay down, Cherry. I remember early in ministry, I was driving so many things. But now I've come to learn to lay down. I used to try to manage the choir and the setup of the equipment and put out the chairs and clean up the church. I was driving so many things. After a while, I learned this is for the birds. I ought to be relaxing a little bit. Well, here I am, 26 years later. I wish you would ask me to do everything. I've learned the value too much of riding in the back seat. Sometimes, every now and then, me and Joy both do it. We like to jump in the back seat like we chauffeuring each other. The text means he makes me lie down. Watch this now. Cherry, my little one, Cherry the fourth, was the hardest one to put to sleep. Kenesha was the easiest. That girl just knocked straight out. I had to make Cherry lay down. Got it. I had to make him lay down. I had to sometimes hold him down to relax him. I had to rub his back and stroke his head and talk to him softly. And sometimes God has to make you lay down so you can get some rest. Amen. I think there's an interesting, watch this, correlation. The term itself, to lay down, means to lay down like laying stones in the road, like cobblestones. It suggests like the road which upon which we travel has been laid down to carry us. So we too should be laid down like stones so that God's will can be carried on top of us. That's all right. But where is it, Riri, that I am to lay? Or in other words, where is my guide taking me? The passage said he leads me, he leads me to green pastures. He takes me to where the waters are still. He takes me to the place where the paths lead to righteousness. In other words, my trip is to make me righteous. So when people change direction, the turn should help you be more righteous. All right. So hopefully it is to make them better. Stop talking against people's changes, because the changes and the turns of the transitions of life God uses to make people better. Be wary of those who want to do the same thing the same way all the time. That means their life has no transition. And so we don't hate others' changes if we know they're following God's will. I'm on a journey and I'm following my shepherd. And the Bible said it's for his name's sake, not yours. It's his brand, not ours. So when I look at this latest transition in my life at this stage right now, oh, I love it, Joy. I see more greenery than ever before. And the greenery speaks to the fertility of our lives. I love it that when you let God lead you, he leads you to a place that has fertility. It has life. He ain't leading you to no dead weeds. My life is now represented by more calm waters than raging seas. What's the movie called? The storm movie with Perfect Storm. The Perfect Storm. Ooh, that movie was, ooh, it's kind of scary. Big old waves. That ain't me right now, boo. I've been through those kinds of storms. I got some stories I can tell you. And while my body is getting older and I'm dying daily, I accept the fact my soul, though, is being born again every day. Because the text said he restores what? My soul. Come on, preacher. I'm refreshed and I'm restored. Don't worry about me. I'm getting better, baby. It comes better with time. And while my sins have been many, because my roads lead me to righteousness, I can unequivocally and with certainty say my sins are fewer today than they were when my journey began. I started out as a little young buck preaching, and I made lots of mistakes. But over time, my guide led me on the path to righteousness. Woo! And I forsook some sins that got me into trouble. And so the wrong things that I've done and the things that I'm guilty of, his grace and his mercy saved me time and time again. And because of his love, I have sought to change my ways. There it is. Every transition is a chance to change. Whenever God gives you an opportunity to move from one place to another, don't take the same old baggage to the new place. This is your opportunity to change. And so I've come to enjoy the greenery and the stillness of this life with my guide. The text said, he leads me on the path of righteousness. He guides me to the path of getting right. My road started leading to making better choices. Come on now, you be driving or you riding in the back and you just let them drive and they turn. It leads to better choices. Have you ever been in a taxi of a driver who knows the city? If traffic is too bad, they know how to take a different turn. Your guide can give you options that you didn't anticipate. He can still get you there on time. Ever try to catch a flight? And if you were driving, you would have had to park. You would have had to do all that. You got to do all that. You'd have been later than all. But Jesus says, ride in my car. I'm your Uber. I'm your Holy Lyft. I'm here to take you to your destination. And should we incur traffic, I know a detour. I know a back way to get you there. And the pathways of righteousness, every time he takes a detour, it makes me more holy. And so with less and less sin, guess what? I experience less and less consequences. Oh, you're gonna miss it. Every time I made the choice to ride with God, to choose his way, my consequences got fewer and fewer. So the path our guide takes us on is one that will clean up our lives. That's all I'm saying. That when you take the right turns in life, by the time you reach your destination, you ought to be better than when you left. left. Amen? I'm tired of people coming to church for 10 years and they the same way they came on year one. After year 10, boo, you ought to show a sign. You ought to be different. You ought not be coming to me for counseling for the same old doggone stuff. Your life ought to, come on somebody, the longer you've been under stable and good teaching, the less you need counseling. But I'm weary of those saints of God who need God the same way year after year. I don't need God in 2023 like I needed him in 1984. You know why? Because I've been in transition. And so the path our God takes us on cleans us up. And I remember those moments so vividly because even when I was sinning, even when I was taking the wrong turn, even when I was hurting and falling out, my guide was with me. In the first section, I view those benefits as one who is walking with their guide. So that's me following Jesus. But when you're not doing so well, when your life is jacked up, that's when you need Jesus to follow you. Amen. Not only am I with my guide, but my guide is with me. Come on. Which leads me to point number three, because it's harder to be with your guide when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, you need your guide to be with you. Somebody say amen. Number three, when in trouble, God is by your side. Every believer has a guide. Every believer needs to learn how to ride. And when in trouble, God is by our side. You see, I'm rhyming. It is well-known fact that the sheep have a tendency to stray away. They wander off and they often find themselves in trouble. And before they know it, they have lost their bearings. They have lost their way. What a tragic example of those recently lost in the underwater excursion to see the Titanic. And it was said that there were times they lost their bearings and they didn't know where they were. You can lose yourself in pursuit of something amazing. I'm gonna say that again. That's big. That's huge. You can lose yourself in pursuit of something amazing because you forget about your depth perception. I told this story before. I was at Lake Castaic and I happened to fall in the lake, and I was in the lake with Levi's on. Stupid. And I call myself just going under a little bit, but I underestimated the weight of the Levi's. And when I started to come up, I was down further than what I thought, and I lost my perception of where I was. In pursuit of having a good time in the lake, I lost my bearing, and I had to come up and I had to work harder to get to where, never mind, I wish somebody knew what I was trying to say. And that's why this point is so important. It's so important because it's not only important to understand that on this journey, I'm following my guide, but I need to know that my guide is always by my side to lead me back to civilization and safety when I can't figure out where the heck I am. And for anybody ever been lost before, and it's good to know your guide can get you. Oh, I feel him pushing me from the left side. Take a look at verse number four. Verse four says, even though, or yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why, I fear no evil, for you are with me. There it is. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Look at verse five. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. And so verse 4 reminds us that God is with us in the turns. He's with us in the transitions of our life. The valley of the shadow of death is a place that means many things to different people. I could tell you what my valley of a shadow of death was, but it might be different for you. Everybody's turns take them to different places. Can you recall the valley of your shadow of death? Do you have more than one? I do. The text reminds me again that the journey takes the route that goes through the valleys of life. None of us live on the mountaintop 24/7, 365. The valley represents the low points of life. Ever been to a low point? A low point is when the guide is with you. Woo, I feel him. I can remember so many low points in ministry. Wanting to quit and to give up. 26 years of understanding. I'm talking about what I learned. Over time, I learned that when you want to quit, God is by your side. Financial pressures. Dealing with how we're going to pay for the building. Dealing with how we're going to take care of the lease and the equipment and the salary. Oh my God, I had people on payroll. I went from one part-time worker to about 15 to 20 employees and managing 100 or so volunteers. And every week I had to have payroll. And I was responsible for making sure the taxes got paid as a payroll. We were running a business. It was a business for Jesus. And it was so many pressures, stress pressures, relationship pressures, jealousy pressures, family issues. I was preaching with family issues, spiritual development issues. I was trying to grow too. And the list goes on. But the reason I'm here today is because in the turns of life that led to the valleys of life, God was by my side. That's all I'm trying to say. And I learned, the text said, to fear no evil, because I discovered I wasn't by myself. When you're not by yourself, you kind of bolster up a little bit. And I've learned that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how the valley looks, and the valley is where the ravens come, and they come and the carcasses live, and where the dead bodies are thrown, and you go down into the valley. That's where Ezekiel was in the valley when he spoke to the dry bones. It's very dry down there. And God says, I'll take you to some dry places, but fear no evil, because my rod and my staff, they comfort me. And I know that God's wrath has checked me many times. He done popped me on the head with that rod. He has checked me with that staff. He has pulled me in when I was ready to cross the line. He has led me back into the fold when I said, for smittle switch. I give up. I thank God for his rod. I thank God for his staff. 26 years of correction. I didn't always like it, but I learned I needed it. I didn't always like it, but I learned I needed it. And sometimes in those valleys, I had to learn, oh, this gets good. Watch this now, Tabitha. Sometimes in those valleys, I had to learn to have dinner with my enemy. Oh yeah, he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. While I'm preaching, I had to learn to have dinner with my enemy. In the hard turns and in the hard transitions, I sat across the table from those who sought to destroy my journey. I was eating at the table with him, but you learn how to do it with a straight face, because you know his rod and his staff is with you. You know he's by your side. But here's what I learned from eating with the enemy. Watch this now. Every bite you take earns you another drop of oil. Remember, you're sitting there because that's where the guide led you. The Bible said he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. I'm here because my guide brought me here. And so both you and God know the situation isn't right, but it's the place that will get you to the next place. If you could learn to sit across from your enemy, take that bite one at a time. Every time you take a bite, it's another dab of God's anointing on your life. It's the transition of life. It's the turn that you got to deal with. That God doesn't extricate us just because we say, Lord, help us. Sometimes his help is preparing a table in the presence of the one who's trying to destroy you and teaching you the discipline of obedience, of trusting God in the valley where the carcasses are, where you have to lean on him and wait on him while your heart is broken and hurting and nobody around you will help you. I look to the left, look to the right, couldn't find nobody, but God was by my side. It's the transition. It's the place where God is giving you more anointing. Watch this. And remember, watch this now. It's still a table, boo. It's a table with food on it. So be thankful you eaten. God didn't have to give you a table at all, but he gave you a table. It just so happened your enemy is there too. Don't focus on your enemy. Focus on the food. Verse 5 says, your guide prepares the table for you in the company of your enemies. And for those experiences, he anoints us with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In fact, he gives us more than enough. He says, I know you got to sit here with this enemy, so I'm going to pour more oil on you. So it spills over on the table. God's oil spills over on the catfish. God's oil spills over on the seat they're sitting in. God's oil protects you. And when I like it like this. When they try to grab you, you're too slippery. They can't get you because the oil is near mine. I'm being silly. It may not be fair and it may not be right, but God will get the glory out of it. And the thing we have to remind ourselves of is this. If I can just make it through each meal with this enemy, one day God is going to get me out of this valley. Why? Because no road goes too long without a turn. Why can I say that? Because the guide, by his very title, means he is coming to take us to a destination, and the valley ain't my drop-off point. Come on. God didn't call you to a valley to stay. Transitions are not our life's goal, but they are part of the journey to get us where God wants us to be. And while the first part is us with our God, and while the second part is our guide with us, we must remember that there are some who are following us from behind. Oh, people are watching us. Come on, somebody. And so number 4 and my final is, you can run, but you can't hide. You got a guide, you got to learn how to ride, because he's by your side, and you can run, but you can't hide. I'm still rhyming. There are so many times I said this is too much. So many times I said this is just too much. And I isolated and I tried to hide from it all. That's why people go into depression, because they're trying to hide their transitions. And I isolated, I tried to hide, but there are two things that would always find me, no matter where I tried to go. I didn't realize that some things were behind me, watching me. And the two things that would always find me whenever I hide was God's goodness and his mercy. Look at the text in verse 6. It says, Surely, goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me when all the days of my life. And what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I learned that someone is always watching how you move. Something or someone is always behind you. And instead of hiding, be a guide to them. Because if you hide in being lost, you cause others to be lost. The Bible says, Paul talks about being a stumbling block to other believers, that when you sin and draw them into your sin, you're not only conscious of what you've done wrong, but you cause them to do wrong. So instead of following the guide, and when you get lost in the transitions, instead of hiding and saying, I'm lost, like Adam when he was in the garden and God came, Adam, where are you? Where are you? He said, we's in the bushes. They had covered themselves with leaves. And God said, what you got them leaves on? He says, we put leaves on, we sin. He said, well, I was naked. He said, well, who told you was naked? What is happening? You lost, and you start making up lies. That's all it is. And you start misdirecting other people. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the reason I take this time to tell my story is because I know someone behind me is going to follow after me. 26 years of preaching, somebody following. And it's important that I follow the guide so they can follow me. In fact, Paul even said it. He told those who he taught, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Shauna, you can write that down. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm bringing it home. I've never heard it this way before, but listen, allow me some spiritual embellishment for a moment. But this is how I believe God gave it to me. You all online, right here, right now, represent goodness and mercy. Every believer that I've taught, every believer I've preached to, every person who participated in JTTW, Journey Through the Word, Above and Beyond, through every sermon, through every online worship session and workshop, they have become my goodness and my mercy. What do you mean, PC? Because your betterment is God's way of showing me that he had mercy on me. Every time I look at you, I'm reminded of God's mercy on our lives. Oh, come on, PC. When I should have been disqualified, your growth qualified me. Your spiritual maturity reminds me that I wasn't disqualified. Goodness and mercy is at work in BFC this morning. Goodness and mercy is still in work in some people who came to the grace place. Goodness and mercy can still dog my steps because somebody from Grace Horizon prayed this morning and believes God. My life is followed now by goodness, which means pleasant things. His goodness follows me. His pleasantness follows me. I came to tell you it does get better. That when my guide is with me and I follow my guide, then pleasant things will follow me when I decide to line up. You are God's pleasantness to me. Every time you live saved, every time, hallelujah, don't cry, PC, every time you choose the right way, you are God's goodness following me. You are the mercy that he shows, because the truth is, I know you don't deserve what you're getting from God. And so each time he blesses us, each time we wake up in the morning, it's a testimony. Mercy is still following me. You're in it now, and you say, listen, just as I did, what's the point? Sometimes you're in the middle of stuff, you say, what's the point? But here come goodness and mercy. Father Joy used to always tell me, so you don't realize, PC, how many people are blessed by you. Sometimes I'll be like, it ain't working. It ain't working. But she reminds me that when I'm saying, oh, I give up, she reminds me of somebody's life who was changed. She tells me a testimony of somebody. Or I go back and I read an old email. Or I remember Tabitha's story. Or I think about what Riri told me. Or I think about what little Ben and his family has gone through. And this never is going to change, because the transitions of life come and you settle in and you start trying to figure out when you're going through it. Well, you start saying, how do I live life with stuff that ain't gonna change? I came to tell you, it will change, because goodness is coming. Mercy is coming. And today I came to tell you, when you follow God's will, using the instructions of his guide. Better days are coming. Sing it, Andrea. Things do get right and things do start working. I'ma testify. And there is a level of prosperity that lands on your life for your years of faithfulness when nobody recognized it. I'm telling you, there are days I preached and people just slapped my hand and said, thank you. I've flown to places, I've driven to places, and people didn't give me a dollar for gas. But I'm telling you, at some point, God's goodness follows behind you and says, because you were faithful over few things, I will make you ruler over many. Mercy turns around, and mercy means you don't get what you deserve. And I'm living my best life, and that means I'm not getting what I deserve. And many of you are not getting what you deserve. So what does that mean? Not getting what you deserve follows you, and it keeps off the things that come to your life demanding payment. When sin would come to get payment for the stuff you've done, mercy says, nope, I paid for that. Every time payment is demanded, every time a bill collector from hell comes to demand payment, mercy says, nope, you don't get what he deserves. I know he deserves to be punished, but my son died on the cross so you could live with some sense of peace. I came to tell you, God is not going to stick your life with a bunch of hell and turmoil. At some point, goodness and mercy will follow up in your life and say, stabilize. Woo! God will give you a moment of peace, and he keeps on covering you day after day. Amen. So then what is left, PC? I'm glad you asked. What is left? The text said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice that term, forever. With life coming together like this, there is nothing left to do but dwell in the house of the Lord all the remaining days of your life. If you're riding in the car, goodness and mercy is doing stuff. The shepherd is leading and guiding you. All you got to do is dwell. God ain't asking you to do all that. God just say, dwell. Just be here. Be with me. Just dwell. You reach a destination. When you dwell in God, you reach a destination in your mind. You reach a destination in your psyche. You reach a destination in your spirit that there's nothing more important than being with the shepherd. So when Susie acts an idiot, when your family starts acting stupid, when your job fires you for no reason, it doesn't matter. Well, probably at this stage, you're not being fired for no reason. Those types of transitions, they go far and few between. I'm telling you, when you get mature in God, it does get better. That the type of stuff you experienced when you were early in your Christianity, that changes as you move forward. And all God wants you to do is dwell. And so he gave you the hard stuff early so you could learn how to sit you down. So you could learn how to sit down. That's all I'm saying. The text says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's what I'm doing this morning, Tony. That's what I'm doing, Shauna, this morning. I came to dwell. I came to be where he is. It means to set in place. It means to lock in. It means to abide in him. It means to get settled in, to inhabit. You know how when you go to bed and you first get on the sheets and you move around a little bit and you get snuggled in and you get it just right and the pillow's situated right up under your head and you're doing just, and you go, ah. That's what life with God is. It's a big sigh. It's a big sigh of I'm comfortable now. It is to dwell in a place
where God is. Uh-oh. Right door, right room, the space, the house, the room that he created just for you is where you come in and you... Don't make me stay in a room I've outgrown. Don't make me stay in a relationship or a place of which I'm no longer called to be. Because I won't sigh of relief there. I will sigh of frustration there. So pay attention to the rooms where you do more sighing out of frustration than sighs out of relief. So in my latter days, I'm settling in. My days of proving to others is past. My life is enriched with God in ways that few will understand. And while something good can be carried on, you learn that letting go is far better because the obedience it takes to transition and the turns to arrive at the right room, at the right space, is far greater than the legacy of familiarity and normalcy. And I find myself creeping through the door of blessing with a lightness and curiosity and with a little fear, but also with a sense of relief and great joy that I'm in a new room that I haven't seen before. And guess what? I'm not driving. So I got time to sit and enjoy the room. You better enjoy that room, PC. Yes, there is still work to be done, but it will be done from another room. My guide has led me here. That's my point. And I make no excuses for me or my guide. Our ways are not his ways, and his ways are past our finding out. I can't tell you why. And so this day of June 25th, 2023, I lay down my toils. I lay down my trepidation. I lay down my hostility for the ways of the world, for a moment of peace, for a moment of honing into my areas of specialty. I lay down my lapel mic. I lay down my preacher's robe. I lay down my special stand that holds my tea. My days as a general practitioner in the gospel are over, and my guide has called me to new rooms and new domains, within which I've been given a new level of authority with his approval. How long will I be there this time? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a season in life where you get to a place and it is self-sustainable. In other words, the turns and the transitions of life that brought you here have built up enough credits to pay all your debts to society. And God gives you rest from your labor that hurt you so much. What I'm saying to you, every time you make the transition, every time you obey God, it's a payment that comes as a residual later when you enter the room of rest. All of your turns, all of your calamities, all of your trials you went through pay for you to stay safe and to stay at peace. Isn't that amazing? I was reading a passage and the Bible said, your adversities will take care of your provision, your sustenance of where you are. The stuff you have gone through will pay for where you are today. So go through it. And the more you go through, the more lavish you can live. And by that I mean, the more peaceful you can live and dwell in his presence forever. There is work to do, but it's done of a different nature. It has been my honor to sow 26 years of pastoral leadership into the lives of so many sheep as the under shepherd of the great shepherd, Jesus the Christ. I pray that each of you will rise up in your own domains and influence and impact the world for Jesus in your own unique and individual ways. I've tried so hard to help you find that. I lay down tonight fulfilled, only to rise again tomorrow to face the day of turns, the new turns that my God has led me to, the turns that will lead me to his home time and time again. Why? Because I am PC, and that is not all I've got. God bless you.